Is your business ready for anything? Say the bottom dropped out of the market for your main product tomorrow. Do you have a plan to handle that? Or conversely, what if demand for your product increases dramatically? Can you scale up quickly? This is the challenge that Dan Purvis faced when the COVID pandemic suddenly called for an order of magnitude increase in the production of ventilators. Dan's company, Valentium, provides the automatic testing systems needed to make sure the ventilators work. And in 2020, the need for these tests went through the roof, seemingly overnight. How Valentium met that demand and how you can rise to your own business challenges is the subject of Dan's new book, 28 Days to Save the World, Crafting Your Culture to Be Ready for Anything. Here's Dan to share five of his key insights.
Hi there. I'm Dan Purvis, the author of 28 Days to Save the World. I'm a serial entrepreneur and started 6 companies throughout my career. My training is in electrical engineering, but my passion throughout all of it has been for people. And my passion for people, alongside my co-founder Tim Carroll's passion for medical devices, is what led us to start Valentium in 2012. Our company is a culture-focused medical design and development and manufacturing firm. It's amazing to work with super smart people, and we turn science fiction into medical commercial reality each and every day. I wrote 28 Days to tell the story of how Valentium entered the COVID-19 pandemic response in a huge way. It's a crazy story. But the story behind the story is that for 10 years, we have been crafting a culture within Valentium to be ready for that pandemic moment. You know, I love watching the Olympics with my kids. It's fun to pull with the rest of the country as we watch athletes pull to the front and ultimately get to stand on the podium. The flag raises, the anthem plays. And yet behind every podium moment for those athletes are thousands upon thousands of hours of training and practice. Well, 28 Days details the training and practice and the culture creation carefully crafted that led to our podium moment in the pandemic response. I hope you enjoy the recounting of the pivotal moment in that pandemic response, but more importantly, I hope you're challenged by the concepts explained throughout the book. They detail how we crafted a culture at our company that would be able to step into the fray when it counted. Yes, it's another culture book, but it is intended much more to be a culture implementation guide as opposed to another treatise on culture. My hope is to show you how to create a culture as opposed to what culture is or why it matters. Insight number one, volunteer yourself. In March 2020, I was sitting on a Zoom call with our senior leadership team, and we were discussing how we were going to weather the COVID pandemic. To this day, I have a draft email in my inbox to the company describing to our staff how we were going to try really hard to keep everybody, but that it could grow tough. And then we heard that Ventech Life Systems, a small ventilator firm in the Seattle area, had stated in a national interview that they could build a lot more ventilators if they just had the resources. We had served Ventech for over 5 years, and we knew them well. And so I called the CEO and said, hey, we'd like to play a part. A day later, we got a call back from their COO, and we learned that they had a daily strategy meeting every morning. I got on the next empty plane to Seattle, and that afternoon, I was on that plane, and the next morning, I was in person in that meeting. 2 days later, I heard that General Motors executives were coming to Ventech. I remember saying, General Motors, like the car company? They said, yeah. I said, why? They said, we're not sure, but they're coming. I said, can I be in the conference room? They said, okay. And so I arrived early and I was the first one in that conference room. And we went around that room introducing ourselves. And when it got to me, I said, I was here and ready to help. And over and over and over again, through those first few weeks of our pandemic response with the ventilators, we placed ourselves proactively in a position of action. We stepped in over and over again, volunteering ourselves. And ultimately, we got to play a part in building 30,000 ventilators and watching the project be discussed by the President of the United States on the White House lawn. It is easily the highlight of my career. So what is your moment? What are you in right now that could be your moment? Has a moment passed you by and you can go back and seize it? I can promise you this, your next moment is coming and I believe that you should seize it. Why not you? I think it should be you. It all starts with the first step, a step into the next exciting chapter of your story. If you aren't sure that you have what it takes to make that step and seize your moment, let me tell you a secret. Those that win are usually not the smartest. Those that win are the most stubborn. It's those who step up, jump in, run hard, and never, ever give up. So step in, make it happen, volunteer yourself. Why not you? Insight number two, principles over rules. Our passion at Valentium is to change lives for a better world. It all starts with our staff and their families, and it reaches all the way to the patients that receive the life-changing medical devices that we get to design, develop, and manufacture. It touches our suppliers and clients as well, and finally, it touches our community. For community impact, a couple of Saturdays every year, we turn our parking lot into a bunk bed factory. Our partner Sleep in Heavenly Peace shows up with the lumber, hardware, tools, bedding, and the know-how, and we show up with our family and our friends and a messload of pizza and Dr. Pepper. And over the next 4 hours, we build 60 bunk beds together. But the exciting part is yet to come. We load those beds into our trucks and SUVs, complete with the mattresses and linens, and we take them to families where their kiddos don't have a place to sleep. Sleep in Heavenly Peace has prearranged with these families that they said they had this need, and it is amazing to see a kid jump on a bed that they can truly call their own. It's revolutionary to me and my kids and our other staff families to play a direct face-to-face part in changing lives. One of my favorite pictures from a recent bed build is our staff member, Matt. In this picture, it's Matt looking at his daughter as she signs the banner that is our event banner. And I don't know which is better, the pride of his daughter as she's signing the banner, as she got to play a part, or the pride in Matt as he watches his daughter sign that banner. Matt's life was changed in some small part through that event. His daughter's life was changed, and they were changed while working on a Saturday to build beds that some kids in need can now claim as their very own. It's stories like that that we exist to change lives for a better world that we have been building into our company for years, such that when Project V happened, the ventilator project happened, I asked our staff in the midst of that to be willing to work 16 plus hour days, indefinitely, 7 days a week. I told them right then, we have always said that we exist to change lives for a better world. That starts with you and your family. Well, right now, the whole country just stepped in front of your family, and I need you all to give all that you can give. And then I told our leaders, they can't just be willing to work themselves. They have to be willing to require it of everyone on their teams. And you know what? Everybody in that room said yes. They all stepped in. It was because they had all already bought into our passion for changing lives long before Project V ever came up. Changing lives for a better world, Valentium's first principle. They were all deeply in tune with that principle. And that will always produce more than rules. If you find yourself making rules to keep bottom performers in line, stop. Principles confuse bottom performers. They want to be told step by step what to do and what not to do. They want rules that describe how much they can get away with. Principles, on the other hand, inspire great performances from great people, the kind of people who will step up and work a crisis 16 hours, 7 days a week until it's solved. Insight number three. Be human. Each evening at 5 p.m. during Project V, I had a leaders roundtable. Each of us could recount what was happening, where we were winning, and where we were stuck. It was metronomic, and it was daily, and it was every day, all week long, and it broke up the workday between normal and the next 7 hours of work ahead until midnight. At the beginning of every one of those meetings, I started with a practice that I am sure drove some of my people crazy. It wasn't efficient. It took serious time in the midst of a project that didn't have time to give. But I asked the question each time to the six of us, tell me a story from the last day that proves you're human. Human stories, they connect us. They help us know that we aren't just output producers. Sometimes the stories are uplifting. Sometimes the stories are hard. I told one about my midnight basketball games in the driveway with my older sons, followed by a burger from the nearby 24-hour Whataburger. I told another about losing my temper at a credit card customer service worker. Not a moment I'm particularly proud of, but a human moment to be sure. Why do we feel like we need to check our humanness at the door of the office? When we go to work, why do we think that we have to stop being human? It doesn't make sense to me at all. That person across the conference table from you is a person. Someone with hopes and dreams, fears and failures. That person changed a diaper this morning. That person watched a championship game from a lawn chair. That person buried a parent. That person volunteered all weekend for a great cause. There's energy generated in any room and in every organization when the people in the room are interested, truly interested in each other. So be interested. Insight number four, reach simple. Simple isn't easy, but simple is worth it. I say it all the time. Mark Twain said, I wrote you a long letter because I didn't have the time to write you a short one. Simple is really, really hard. But there is a huge difference between truly simple and almost there. Reaching simple pushes you to go all the way to simple. If you stop just short, you miss out on the huge benefits that simple provides. When we first brainstormed values at Valentium 10 years ago, I asked two other leaders to name all of the rock stars in their lives. Neighbors, relatives, coworkers, historical figures, athletes, Marvel characters, you name it. Who do you really respect? I wrote all those names on a whiteboard, and then I changed colors and asked the group, why is that name on there? And I wrote a trait next to each name as people describe why they admired that person. Then I erased the names and we played a game that I call kill, keep, and combine with that traits list. We worked and we worked and we worked and we finally got it down to 12 traits. And now we arrive at simple isn't easy, but simple is worth it. Because I don't know about you, but I can hardly remember a list of 12 values. And even tougher, how do you know which one applies in a given situation? We had to make it simpler. And so meeting after meeting after meeting, we continued to bang our heads against the wall and eventually we narrowed it down to three. Honorable, we do right for right's sake. Results plus plus, we do the job and then some. And humble charisma, we strive to be the kind of people that you want to be around. It was humble charisma that took a lot of those 12 traits on the first list and combined them all into that. And now our values are memorable, easily applied, highly versatile, and simple. Reach Simple will challenge you in many areas of life and business to keep pressing in, to not settle, to demand more until you reach simple. Insight number five, you decide. My favorite two words at Valentium are you decide. We work hard to assure everyone in the organization has the ability, the autonomy, and the authority to make decisions. Staff come into my office all the time and ask me to weigh in. I start to smile as they tell their story and they can see it coming from a mile away. I've seen them roll their eyes before like, oh no. And I'm like, yep, you decide. They say, yeah, but what do you think? And I say, I think that you will make a great decision. At our company, if you can justify our decision against our four principles, the passion of changing lives for a better world and our three values of honorable, results plus plus, and humble charisma, we will have your back. It makes leadership messier because some people will make different calls than you would, but it makes it easier because you don't have to always make the decision. We adopted our two oldest sons internationally. As part of that dossier, I needed a letter from my bank stating that I had an account in good standing. Not sure why it was required, but it was required. So I walked into my bank, I'll call them Big Box Bank to protect the guilty, and I asked for the letter. I had no idea that the next 90 minutes of my life were going to be so miserable. For an hour and a half, I had to fight, persuade, argue, and push for a simple letter that said I had an account at that bank. It finally came down to one statement from the bank manager. We don't have an F key for that. I said, excuse me? He said, we don't have an F key for that. I was like, what are you talking about? It turns out that in the big box bank branches, they're only authorized to push F keys that auto-generated forms. They had been trained not to think, and hence they had no category for a client that came through the front door asking for something that couldn't be F keyed. And 90 minutes later, I had finally convinced them to open up Word, copy their logo from the website, and write me a letter that said I had an account. When the manager gave it to me, he told me with exasperation that he had just done me a huge favor. What happened 18 years ago with that bank, it still raises my blood pressure today. Build a thinking culture throughout your organization. Build into your people the ability, the authority, and the autonomy to make decisions for themselves. And once you implement, you decide, you will never go back.
Thank you, Dan. That was Dan Purvis with five big ideas from 28 Days to Save the World, Crafting Your Culture to Be Ready for Anything. Also, check out our book bite for Deliberate Calm, How to Learn and Lead in a Volatile World. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.